Scott Cullen, host of Locked On Fantasy Hockey on the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. In today's episode, I've got my preseason NHL power rankings, plus a look at Stanley Cup odds. It's going to be an interesting year, I'm sure. In a shortened schedule, injuries and COVID-19 absences will affect NHL teams. They're not in a bubble anymore. It's already affecting the Dallas Stars, whose season will not start on time, but this is the life we lead now. All that aside, let's start with team number 31, the Ottawa Senators. What do I like about the Senators? Brady Tkachuk and Evgeny Dadonov are some quality forwards. Hope they can bring along rookie center Josh Norris. There's a little bit of hope in Ottawa, but not a lot. We've got them at number 31. What I don't know about their goaltending, don't know about their defense, or the rest of their scoring. I mean, even Tkachuk, who's a very useful player, a quality young winger, hasn't put up huge scoring numbers yet. And in the case of the Senators, I just don't know if they're going to get enough offense. Let's move to team number 30, Chicago Blackhawks. Who I like, Patrick Kane, Alex DeBrincat, Dominic Kubalik. Blackhawks do have wingers that can score. I'm not sure about their goaltending, which doesn't appear to be NHL caliber. The tandem of Colin Delia and Malcolm Subban, there's not a lot there to think that they can be competitive in the NHL for a full season, particularly behind a team that is suspect defensively and missing their top two centers to start the season. You know, otherwise, things are going great in Chicago. 29, got the New Jersey Devils. What I like about the Devils is the future built around centers Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier. What that means for the present, though, I don't know. Kyle Palmieri and Nikita Gusev offer some offense. Goaltender Mackenzie Blackwood looks good. And the defense could be okay if P.K. Subban bounces back from his worst season and Ryan Murray manages to stay healthy, but there's some uncertainty in all that. What I'm not sure about with the Devils is their depth pretty much across the board. And the loss of Corey Crawford to retirement shortly before the season starts, well, that does leave them very thin in goal. And as I say, Blackwood is probably a quality netminder, and he can handle a heavier workload, but the drop-off at backup goaltender gets pretty substantial when you're going from Corey Crawford to guys who are probably going to be in the American Hockey League. Team number 28, the Detroit Red Wings. I do like, they've started to get some good young players around which to build. That includes Dylan Larkin, Anthony Mantha, Tyler Bertuzzi, Philip Zadina, Philip Hronek, and they've added some solid pros this offseason to make them more competitive. The goaltending duo of Thomas Greiss and Jonathan Bernier should be okay, which is a lot better than what they had last season with Jimmy Howard and Jonathan Bernier. I'm not sure about Detroit's forward depth, still pretty shaky. Defense has holes. It appears the Red Wings may be on the right path, but they're starting from a long way down. So if they end up being the 28th best team, that might have to be considered a success this year. Number 27, I've got the Los Angeles Kings. I like Anze Kopitar, Gabriel Vilardi, and a crew of quality prospects on the way, including Quinton Byfield. They also have some unheralded defensemen like Matt Roy and Sean Walker. Have been effective and inexpensive. Well, I guess what I'm not sure about is that aside from Kopitar, the core pieces of the Kings championship teams, like Drew Doughty and Jonathan Quick, they haven't played at a high level for a couple of years. And everybody's getting older. And so when it's Doughty and Quick and Dustin Brown and Jeff Carter, and the window has probably closed on those guys. And Doughty's not happy about being slighted in terms of what people think of his play in recent years. But those numbers aren't lying. The Kings just haven't played well with him on the ice. And so the one way to change that is to go out and have a season in which the Kings are actually better with Doughty on the ice. Move on to team number 26, the Arizona Coyotes. They have a great goaltending tandem, Darcy Kemper and Antti Raanta, and they play behind a solid, if not spectacular, professional defense corps. What I'm not sure about with the Coyotes is whether they can score enough goals. Phil Kessel and Clayton Keller kind of struggled last season, and they're the obvious players that need to improve. But even if they do, even if Kessel and Keller boost their production quite a bit, I'm still not sure the Coyotes have sufficient depth up front. at team number 25, the San Jose Sharks. I like their top six forwards, plus their roving defensemen, Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson. That gives the Sharks at least something to work with. I'm not sure about basically anything beyond those top six forwards. And the goaltending tandem of Martin Jones and Devan Dubnyk is suspect. You know, if they manage to kind of cobble it together and play okay for 56 games this year, the Sharks might surprise. But I think that is waiting to be a problem for them at some point during the season. All right, team number 24, Columbus Blue Jackets. I like Pierre-Luc Dubois, Oliver Bjorkstrand, Nick Foligno, Kim Atkinson, Zach Werenski, and Seth Jones. Though Jones has probably slipped a little bit in the past couple of seasons. I guess what I'm not sure about with the Blue Jackets is the goaltending duo of Elvis Merzlikins and Jonas Korpisalo. Are they actually great? They played, you know, great at times last season, and if that's what they really are, then you know, the Blue Jackets probably deserve to be ranked higher, but I think we have some uncertainty about whether that's their true talent level. It feels like this team probably needs more scoring, and you know, maybe it could come from within, but you know, you have to look at the likes of Alexandre Texier, Emil Bemström, Liam Foudy, Mikhail Grigorenko. You know, the team basically could use a surprise or two out of that group. Team number 23 is the New York Islanders. I like their top six forwards. They're not great. Matthew Barzal might be, but otherwise it's a solid group. And the goaltending tandem of Semyon Varlamov and Ilya Sorokin, the rookie coming over from the KHL, they should be strong too. What I'm not sure about is their bottom six forwards for the most part. I'd say Jean-Gabriel Pageau is an exception. Or a defense corps that had lost Devon Taves and Johnny Boychuk in the offseason. So, you know, and this would not be the first time that I've underrated the Islanders. It's become pretty standard practice, I think. But I do look at their defense, and that doesn't look like a team that should be going to the playoffs. But I guess we'll see how it goes. Team number 22, the Buffalo Sabres. What I do like about the Sabres, they added skill up front. Taylor Hall and Eric Staal, joining Jack Eichel and Victor Olofsson and Sam Reinhart and Jeff Skinner, gives them a fighting chance offensively. And what I'm not sure about, their forward depth is iffy. Even if Dylan Cousins could step in and play for them, there's still some, you know, some questions about their bottom six. And their defense is full of question marks. And with the hope that, I guess, that Rasmus Dahlin turns into a difference maker for them. Goaltenders Linus Ullmark and Carter Hutton, neither one has really proven to be a reliable option that could be trusted. So, you know, for all the gains the Sabres have made offensively, there is still some risk that it gets it will get undermined by defensive and goaltending play. At team number 21, the Minnesota Wild. I like their quality top four in defense, Ryan Suter, Jared Spurgeon, Jonas Brodin, Matt Dumba. They've got some upside with rookie winger Kirill Kaprizov and Kevin Fiala. But I'm not sure about a team going into a season without a bona fide number one center. I mean, the cast of characters that the Wild have to play center is Marcus Johansson and Nick Bjugstad and Nick Bonino and Joel Eriksson-Ek. These are all fine NHL players, but none of them should be filling a number one center role. Certainly not on a team that has ideas of playing in the playoffs. So, and look, starting goaltender Cam Talbot was good for Calgary last season, but he started just 22 games for them as well. His numbers really dropped off after that season in Edmonton, where he had a massive workload, and it really seemed to have a detrimental effect in his future season. So we'll see whether or not he can handle the starting role this season. Team number 20, the Vancouver Canucks, who I like, Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes are two great pieces around which to build. JT Miller, Bo Horvat, Nate Schmidt are some quality complementary pieces too. I'm not sure about their depth pretty much everywhere. Feels like they could use another quality forward and some assurances that the goaltending duo of Braden Holtby and Thatcher Demko will somehow be all right. And it could be. Maybe Demko's ready to step up and be a starting goaltender, or maybe Holtby can rebound and play, you know, basically like he did before the past three seasons. Because in the past three seasons, he's carrying a .906 save percentage, and that's not good enough. Team number 19, and this might be a bit of a surprise to have them this high, is the Anaheim Ducks. You know, even after a down season last year, like I like goaltender John Gibson, left winger Rickard Rakell, defenseman Hampus Lindholm and Josh Manson. But I guess what I'm not sure about when it comes to the Ducks is whether the young forwards will step up. And that's Sam Steele and Max Jones. And I guess what I'd be most interested in is if Trevor Zegras, the world junior star, if he gets a legitimate shot for them. Troy Terry is another of their young forwards. Max Comtois. They've got some promising young players, but I think that they can make a real difference in what happens with the Ducks this year is if those guys, you know, perform really well, then you know, the results will probably be pretty good. If not, well, they might be out of the playoffs once again. So let's take a break right there, and we'll come back on the other side with team number 18. Are we ready for some football? NFL playoffs are in full swing, and there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Not only are the NFL playoffs on, the NBA season is in full swing, and the National Hockey League season is just around the corner. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. You're betting this year and want more wins? Listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. So let's continue with the NHL Power Rankings. We're up to team number 18, the Calgary Flames. What do I like about the Flames? I like Mark Giordano, still a rock on the blue line. Matthew Tkachuk is an agitator who can play. Goaltender Jacob Markstrom was great for Vancouver last season. So they've got some quality pieces. Now, what I'm not sure about is how much the Flames' top players will bounce back from what was a relatively poor season in 2019-2020. And I expect them to bounce back, but it's imperative that they actually do it. There's Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan, most notably. But, you know, the Flames have to see what they can get out of their top talent if they're going to really be contenders. And I would say there's some concern about the depth of their defense behind Giordano as well. You know, they being ranked 18th, they're sort of on the edge of the playoffs. And, you know, close enough that if they play well, they could get in. We need to see how it plays out. And number 17, got the Florida Panthers. What I like about the Panthers, Alexander Barkov and Jonathan Huberdeau are great. There are a few interesting pieces on the blue line, including Aaron Ekblad and Mackenzie Weegar. What I'm not sure about is that pretty much any hope for the Panthers hinges on whether Sergei Bobrovsky can get back on track after a terrible 2019-2020 campaign. And it's too simple to just say, well, if Bobrovsky plays well, then the Panthers are fine because the team isn't that good. He didn't really give them a chance to compete last season. And so if Bobrovsky, you know, bounces back and doesn't have to be in Vezina Trophy form, but if he's league average even, Florida becomes much more interesting. At team number 16, the Dallas Stars went to the Stanley Cup Final. Last season. What do I like? I like defenseman Miro Hiskinen and John Klingberg. And there's some potential up front with Rupe Hintz and Denis Gurianov. But I'm not sure about a Stars team that doesn't look like they have enough firepower offensively, and especially with Tyler Seguin out. And probably asking a lot for Anton Khudobin to handle the starting goaltender role with Ben Bishop out. You know, Khudobin played really well in the postseason. But he hasn't had to be a starting goaltender for a full NHL season. And even if this is a shortened NHL season, the starting goaltender job in a compressed schedule is still going to be physically taxing. So for a team that may not score a whole lot, I have some questions about how this is all going to play out for the Stars this season. Team number 15, the New York Rangers. What do I like? I like Artemi Panarin and Mika Zibanejad coming off incredible seasons. Rookie goaltender Igor Shesterkin and rookie winger Alexis Lafreniere. They should make a difference right away. Sophomore defenseman Adam Fox had a stellar rookie season last year. And maybe rookie defenseman Keandre Miller can help out too. Now, what I'm not sure about is the defense remains an issue in New York almost always. And, you know, their forward depth would be improved if second-year winger Kaapo Kakko took a giant leap forward after his miserable rookie season. But this Rangers team, you know, should be competitive. They might even surprise and challenge for a playoff spot. Team number 14, the Nashville Predators. What do I like? I like their top three on defense. Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, Mattias Ekholm. Though it used to be a dominant top four. Nashville's forwards were disappointing last season, but Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene are a couple that have the track record to believe that they can score. I guess what I'm not sure about is whether enough of their forwards will recover offensively. Brian Johansson and Michael Granlund and Victor Arvidsson all come through. Well, Nashville ought to be pretty good. If not, could be pretty bad. Team number 13, Winnipeg Jets. I like goaltender Connor Hellebuyck. And they have tons of skill at the top of their forward depth chart. Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler, Nikolaj Ehlers, Kyle Connor, Patrick Laine, pretty good. Re-signing Dylan DeMello was necessary to help stabilize that defense. And maybe rookie Ville Heinola will have a chance to contribute this season too. I'm not sure about, you know, that defense overall anyway. Even with DeMello there, and if Heinola comes in, that might help. But still not great overall. And Winnipeg's forward depth is not quite where it needs to be, but you know, this Jets team had a ridiculous statistical season last year, and their expected goals, they were hovering around like 43%. Like, they were almost as bad as Detroit in that respect. Now, they managed to have a better record than that because they had an outstanding goaltender and they have high-end forwards who can score, but this is the team that, you know, if they could just hover around mediocre numbers, they still have the star goaltender and forwards who could score, that, you know, they could actually do some damage. Team number 12, the Edmonton Oilers. They have a couple of decent forwards. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are among the very best, even if their defensive play hasn't necessarily been ideal the past couple of seasons. And, you know, the Oilers' defense corps should actually be decent this year. You know, they've been maligned for many years, but I think looking at that group this season, it's probably not that bad. What I'm not sure about is how the Oilers are going to use their goaltenders, because it appears that Mikko Koskinen is the better of the two, but it was still Mike Smith starting the play-in games last season. And, you know, you can look at the Oilers lineup and pretty easily envision a playoff team, but you could also see a team that gets undone by poor goaltending, or if there's an injury to, you know, McDavid or Draisaitl, well, and things go haywire in a hurry. But as they are set right now, I think they're a playoff team, and we'll see what happens. Team number 11, the St. Louis Blues. Blues have solid depth at forward and on defense. They may not have elite talent, but they should also be able to run four lines and play all six defensemen, which could work to their benefit in a compressed schedule. I'm not sure about their goaltending duo, Jordan Binnington and Ville Husso. Binnington slumped after a good start last season, and Husso is yet to play in the NHL. So the other concern is that without Vladimir Tarasenko, the Blues don't quite have a game-breaking offensive talent. They've got, you know, Ryan O'Reilly and Braden Schenn and Jaden Schwartz and David Perron. They've got guys who can score, but none that are quite as dynamic as Tarasenko. Team number 10, the Boston Bruins. What do I like? Well, I like the Bruins more than this ranking, but the absence of David Pastrnak to start the season for the first month, you know, that's a pretty big deal. So, otherwise, still love Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand is great, and the goaltending pair of Tuukka Rask and Jaroslav Halak is first rate. I'm not sure about, you know, aside from Pastrnak's absence, the defense lost Torrey Krug and Zdeno Chara, which leaves some questions to be answered if the Bruins are going to be a Stanley Cup contender. And that's probably a fair expectation for them, even if I have them ranked 10th at the start of the year. Team number 9, the Washington Capitals. I like the solid veteran core from a recent Stanley Cup winner, Alex Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, Tom Wilson, Jakub Vrana, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and TJ Oshie. That's a potent top six. And they've also done a nice job adding defensive depth. Once the Capitals had signed Chara, they basically have eight NHL defensemen ready to go. So they should give themselves a pretty good chance with that lineup. And what I'm not sure about is after Henrik Lundqvist required heart surgery, the Capitals are turning to Ilya Samsonov and Vitek Vanacek in net. Not a lot of experience in that duo. So we'll see if they can hold up. But they probably don't have to be great. If they just get average goaltending out of Samsonov and Vanacek, the Capitals should be just fine. Team number eight, Philadelphia Flyers. I like goaltender Carter Hart, rising star going into his third season, and a quality group of forwards, bolstered by the returns of Oscar Lindblom and Nolan Patrick. I mean, that the fact that Philadelphia is getting those two back in the lineup this year to a team that was already a quality playoff team last year, that's pretty encouraging. And what I'm not sure about is that even though I tend to think Philadelphia's defense is okay, it probably depends on further development from Travis Sanheim and Philippe Myers, and maybe figuring out Shane Gostisbehere in some fashion, that whether he could be used more or what, because it seems that he's being underutilized in Philadelphia these days. Team number seven, the Montreal Canadiens. Probably a bit of a surprise to have them this high, but I like their underrated top line: Thomas Tatar, Philippe Danault, and Brendan Gallagher. They dominate five-on-five play, but Danault and Gallagher aren't big power play producers, so they tend not to get praise heaped upon them. Young centers Nick Suzuki and Jesperi Kotkaniemi are promising, and the defense, led by Shea Weber and Jeff Petrie, is steady. I also don't mind that Carey Price wasn't great last season, because typically he's played better following down seasons. Now, what I'm not so sure about, as bright as the future is for their young centers, will Suzuki and Kotkaniemi be ready to play championship-level hockey this season? Could be asking a lot. Jonathan Drouin remains an enigma, and Josh Anderson, who the Canadiens obviously have high hopes for after acquiring him from Columbus, but he's coming off a season in which he scored one goal in 26 games, so pump the brakes on the praise for Josh Anderson, and let him get back to how he played a couple of seasons ago. Team number six, the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, I like a team with top-end talent. Auston Matthews, Mitch Marner, John Tavares, William Nylander. And because they have talent, they also have veterans who are willing to come in cheap to play supporting roles, and Joe Thornton and Jason Spezza and Wayne Simmonds. The defense has been much maligned, and deservedly so. But I think this season's team has a chance to be pretty strong, especially if prospect Rasmus Sandin could force his way into the lineup. Even if he doesn't, a group that has, TJ Brody added to Jake Muzzin and Morgan Riley, Travis Dermott. They can have a competent group. And if you have really strong forwards and a competent defense, you can probably win quite a few games. Now, what am I not sure about? Is goaltender Frederik Andersen. He struggled last season, and he'll probably be better because he was an above-average goaltender prior to last season. But what if he isn't? Well, that could undo the Maple Leafs' expectations. Team number five, the Tampa Bay Lightning. I like the defending champs that still have lots of talent, despite being without star right winger Nikita Kucherov for the regular season while he recovers from hip surgery. Braden Point, Steven Stamkos, Victor Hedman, Andrei Vasilevsky, these are elite players. They can still keep the Lightning among the top teams. What I'm not sure about is the defensive depth isn't ideal. Behind Hedman, Ryan McDonough, Mikhail Sergachev, and Eric Chernak, it starts to get rather lean, but we'll see how the Lightning manage that on their way to defending the title. Team number four, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Penguins still have elite talent up front and a solid top four on defense. As long as they have Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Chris Letang steering the ship, they probably have a chance. But in recent seasons, they've added Jake Guentzel and Jason Zucker and Kasperi Kapanen, among others, to bolster their attack. I'm not sure about their goaltending duo. Tristan Jarry and Casey DeSmith is very inexperienced, and there is the risk that they might not be up to the challenge of backstopping a potential Stanley Cup contender. Team number three, the Carolina Hurricanes. I like skilled lineup with good depth throughout. Sebastian Aho, Teuvo Teravainen, Andrei Svechnikov, they're the best forwards, and the defense may be even stronger in relative terms. Dougie Hamilton, Jacob Slavin, Brett Pesce, Brady Shea filling up the top four.
What I'm not sure about, as always, it seems goaltending is a question for the Canes. Peter Mrazek and James Reimer are competent NHL goaltenders. But that isn't necessarily enough if they're matched up against a good team that is better than merely competent goaltending. Move to team number two, the Vegas Golden Knights. I like that the Golden Knights have done a bang-up job adding high-end talent. Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty, Alex Petrangelo, and Robin Leonard have been added to an expansion core, and they've basically operated like contenders right from the start. What I'm not sure about, and maybe there's a little concern about Vegas' defensive depth, but any shortcomings on this roster are the epitome of first-world hockey problems. That leaves us with the number one team, Colorado Avalanche. Look, I like a loaded lineup. Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen are the offensive leaders. They have a lot of support from Gabriel Landeskog, Andrei Burakovsky, Brandon Saad, and Nazem Kadri. Their forward depth is solid, too, and the defense might be even better. Kale Makar could be a Norris Trophy contender in his second season. They added Devon Taves to what was already a quality group, and top prospect Bowen Byram could be a wild card if he makes the team. What I'm not sure about, I suppose, is the goaltending. Philip Grubauer and Pavel Francouz should be good enough with this team in front of them, but they both got hurt in last year's playoffs, so there's always some kind of vulnerability, even in the Death Star. So coming up next, I've released my full fantasy projections in a Google sheet that you can find on scottcullenhockey.substack.com. And take a look at some Stanley Cup odds. See if there's any value to be found on the board. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They have a bunch of great flavors. My favorites are peanut butter brownie and salted caramel. They're all low fat, low carb, high protein, all in a convenient bar. And they've added six new flavors. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. I've been trying to shed quarantine pounds in an outdoor boot camp for the past couple of months, and I've had some success, but I leaned right into it, with Built Bar as part of my post-workout routine. It gives my muscles the protein boost they need. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON to save 20% off your next order. Enjoy the best protein bar on the planet. Send me your questions. I'm at @ByScottCullen on Twitter. Show is at @LO_FantasyNHL on Twitter. Want to fire off an email? Send it to LockedOnFantasyHockey@gmail.com. And remember, it's not too late to listen to the Locked On NHL Season Preview Series on the Locked On NHL Podcast. Get intel on all 31 NHL teams and fantasy waiver wire ads from Locked On Fantasy Hockey host Scott Cullen. Subscribe to Locked On NHL wherever you get podcasts. So let's take a look at the team's odds for the Stanley Cup, brought to you by our friends at betonline.ag. See if there's any value to be found on the board. We'll start at the top tier. Colorado, plus 650. Tampa Bay, plus 850. Vegas, plus 900. The issue there is that Colorado and Vegas, both coming out of the same division. So whichever team does come out of the West could very well be the Stanley Cup favorite. But you're kind of run into a problem there that, as you saw by my rankings, Colorado and Vegas are the top two teams in the league. I'm not sure there's great value on the board there. Down to the next tier, we've got contenders. Boston plus 1,200, Toronto plus 1,200, Carolina plus 1,600, Philadelphia plus 1,600, and Pittsburgh plus 1,600. So where is the value in that group? Might be the Carolina Hurricanes. The Hurricanes have had great underlying numbers. Over the past three seasons, they have the best shot differentials in the league, and their expected goals are among the best. The problem for the Hurricanes, and this has gone on for years, is that their percentages aren't ideal, is that both shooting percentage and their goaltending have not been quite up to snuff for a contending team. Now, I don't know that their goaltending is necessarily going to be any better, but I think they've been adding talent up front that you might expect that their shooting percentage could be better. And when we're talking about goaltending over a month or 2 months of playoffs, there's maybe a chance that their tandem of Peter Mrazek and James Reimer is good enough if the rest of the team is great. And so, you know, Philadelphia at 1,600, Carolina at plus 1,600, and Pittsburgh at plus 1,600, any of those teams do offer a little bit of upside. See Toronto at plus 1,200, and even if, you know, being in the North Division gives them a better chance, say, to get into the Final Four, I don't love that price for a Toronto team that has not had playoff success yet. Into the next tier, we've got Dallas, the Islanders, Washington, all at plus 2,000, St. Louis plus 2,200, Montreal plus 2,200, Edmonton plus 2,800. Now here, you're looking at, you know, some teams that have flaws, certainly, but might have some potential value. And I think a team like Washington at that price seems like they'd be some decent value. I also think Montreal could have value at that price. Montreal is ranked seventh in my preseason ranking. Getting them down here in, you know, what I guess would be the third tier of teams, there might be, you know, possible value there. Now we move down to Rangers, Calgary, Vancouver, all plus 3,300, Nashville plus 3,500. Now, I don't think that any of those teams are, you know, likely Stanley Cup winners, but, you know, we're looking at possibilities. And I think in the case of the Rangers, what they do have going for them is they have high-end talent in terms of our guys like Artemi Panarin and Mika Zibanejad, but they also have some variance from young players. You know, we don't know how good Alexi Lafreniere will be. Maybe he'll be great right away. You don't know how good goaltender Igor Shesterkin will be. He had a good dozen games for the Rangers last season, but what if he can, you know, post a 932 save percentage as the starter for a season? Well, you know, that would change their outlook in a pretty dramatic way. And maybe Kaapo Kakko bounces back from a tough rookie season. And so I think the variance that is possible with that Rangers lineup does, you know, make them least worth considering at that price. All right, so let's move down to teams that may just be battling for the playoffs. Buffalo, Columbus, Winnipeg, all plus 4,000. So that's 40-1 odds. Florida, plus 5,000. Minnesota, plus 5,000. Is there any team in that group? Well, to me, Winnipeg, even though they were statistically abysmal last season, they have the top-end talent that you might think could be a contender. And they do have a star goaltender. So, you know, if Hellebuck has a great season, if their top forwards play at a really high level, you know, maybe Winnipeg sneaks into this discussion. I don't know if, you know, their defense is quite up to that, but, you know, well, we can kind of wait and see how that goes. And obviously, when you're picking teams down at this level, you're not doing it with expectation that they absolutely must deserve to win the Stanley Cup. It's kind of, is there a path? Is there some possible way that this team down here might be able to squeeze through? Now, even a little further down, we've got Arizona Coyotes, Chicago, San Jose, all plus 6,600. New Jersey and Anaheim and Los Angeles, all plus 8,000. Now, none of those teams really has a viable shot at the Stanley Cup. But, you know, perhaps San Jose could be interesting if their goaltending managed to hold up. If Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson, you know, are dynamic and dominant playmakers, you know, maybe. And that's, you know, that's certainly not their most likely result. But, you know, at 66-1, maybe it's worth at least a little consideration. Los Angeles, you know, statistically, might be able to get into that discussion. And certainly at 80-1, they might be, you know, worth considering if they have some players who can finish, because that really was a problem last season. And until they get, you know, all these top prospects that they have coming in the pipeline, until they get those guys into the lineup, I don't know that the Kings will be able to finish enough to really be contenders. And, you know, that's why they're this far down in the odds. But statistically, they maybe don't have quite as far to climb. Now, the last two teams, we've got Ottawa at plus 15,000, Detroit at plus 20,000. Neither one has any prayer of winning the Stanley Cup this year. I might say that I would put Detroit ahead of Ottawa in terms of whether they're more likely. Neither one's going to, so what are we even talking about here? Anyway, that will do it for today. I will continue tomorrow, more preseason prep. can check out my position-by-position rankings at scottcullenhockey.substack.com. It's free to sign up, and I'm all over the place right now. You can check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball. I've written fantasy hockey preview pieces in McKean's Hockey and Dauber Hockey, as well as The Athletic, and I'll be contributing to The Athletic throughout the season. And by the time this season starts, which only a couple days away, you should have a pretty solid idea about my opinion of most players. So find these podcasts, subscribe, and rate them on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis.